Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. Y'all, we back in the building. This is your host, Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel. Rigel Stone, your girl.
Host Kev for Barbie Ghani, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Montoy X, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. Back again to have some constructive dialogue with the family. This is Collective Minds, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. And we should have a powerful conversation today, family, this week. You know, the last few weeks we've been having some good dialogues, some good conversations going on. So we just want to continue that this week. And before we get started, like we always do on Collective Minds, how was y'all week, and do we have any announcements?
I had a wonderful week. Wonderful, wonderful week. No announcements, though, but just other than just announcing how wonderful my week was.
All right, all right. Yes, indeed, brother.
Man, I had a beautiful week as well, week and weekend. I want to give a special shout-out to a brother who came in from out of town here. His name is Haseem Hakeem. He came to March 28 to give the FOI some hands-on tips on how to deal with the people. It was very informative. Really appreciated that brother. We also had a brother came in, Brother Dimitri Muhammad, who came in and gave a powerful lecture today. Based on the resurrection gospel. So, you know, we need to hear that on this so-called day of Easter. So shout out to Brother Haseem Hakeem and Brother Dimitri Muhammad. Really appreciate the hard work of them brothers and coming here to St. Louis to spread the love and the powerful teachings.
All right, all right. Yes, indeed. My week has been good. As always, I love it when the sun come out and we get the, some of that raw, that energy, that good energy coming out. So today was a beautiful day.
You're welcome.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, brother. And, been spending a lot of time with the fam this weekend, did a couple things with the kids. And, you know, so it's been all overall a good week. You know, like I said, I've been trying to enjoy it. I try not to get too high, too low. Try to just stay in the middle, be consistent, you know, when that pendulum swing, because that's, you know, that's one of the laws of the universe. You're going to have good times, you're going to have bad times. So, you know, if you can keep that pendulum from swinging too far left or right and kind of stay consistent in the middle, and when you do have a bad time, use that as a learning opportunity or an opportunity to upgrade or, you know, do something different. So that's kind of how I've been moving this week, and it's been so far so good. Looking forward to the spring getting going and, you know, looking forward to the summer. So that's how Brother Kev is rolling, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev. And we do have a special guest coming in this evening, y'all, because we are talking about crime in St. Louis, and we want to talk about some solutions. You know, we have put it out there. Do you guys think the National Guard is a solution to crime in St. Louis? Now, this is a conversation that we're having about St. Louis, but I really feel like it could be applied to any major city in the United States, right? So you can apply this same thing, conversation, to Chicago, to Baltimore, to you know, any city where there's a large population of black people, any major city in America, you can kind of apply this conversation to. So that's what we're talking about. And most importantly, we want to talk about the solutions to this quote-unquote prime problem in St. Louis and, like I say, any major city in America. So that's how we rolling today, y'all. Give us a call. You know, Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. And the number is 929-477-1697. And, again, we do have a special guest. We'll be bringing him in shortly, but like we always do, we like to get a Collective Minds panel a chance to, you know, give their opinions on the conversation at hand, and then we'll bring in our special guests. All right, y'all. That's how we doing it.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's, I guess we can go to Rigel first. And let her, you know, give her opinion on the conversation at hand. So, Rigel, in your opinion, do you think the National Guard is the solution to crime in St. Louis?
Well, like with anything, I think it's a tool that should be used and applied with wisdom. So I want to say no, never. But I think there are other things that can be done first, and that should be done first before implementing such a drastic measure. Because my concern would be with the branch, the National Guard. I think they have it's so much that they need to work on within themselves before you want to implement them into, you know, the community. It's not a good relationship right now. So I don't know how wise it would be it would be more hostile, it would seem, because the relationship between the community and any law enforcement is so unbalanced and it's too hostile. So it seems that to just implement it now, I don't know how effective it could be. Now, if the relationship was a little bit different with the system or the National Guard or law enforcement, things like that, and something was to, you know, happen where it was cause for that, then of course, yeah, you know, everything should be done with wisdom. You know, you don't just do it. You know, I'm concerned as a citizen. I am concerned about crime and violence, you know, but I don't think that we are really utilizing all the things that we need to utilize in the first place to really kind of combat it. And that's pretty much it. I can leave it there and pick up later on during the show.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Good insight. All right. My brother Mufasa.
Yeah.
Do you think the National Guard is a solution to crime in St. Louis or any major city?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, you know, I'll start by saying I have to put this out that we did have a dissimilar discussion with this a few months ago. So, you know, people who are listening, if y'all want to check the archives and go back in the Collective Minds archives, you can check out a prior show we did on this discussion. And I'll probably be somewhat close to my thoughts on that I had at that time, maybe with a little bit of a twist. I don't believe that is a necessary strategy, but I will say this. Because one of the reasons we're having this conversation is because our guest had brought this up as a result of the crime that's going on in his community. And I can understand where the frustration come in when you have local authorities not taking care of the people, not handling the business, not trying to fight crime properly, but basically helping to prey on the community. So I understand the frustrations of the people, with good people who live in these areas that are riddled with crime, gun violence, you know, and they start feeling like they have no one to turn to because they look for the authorities to get them a hand and help them out in these situations, and they don't receive it. They don't get the help. You know, you call for 911, something kicked off, you call for 911, they may come, they may not come. That's been my experiences from growing up in the city here in St. Louis, is having issues with the police. Sometimes they help, sometimes they don't. You know, I believe it was just a couple weeks ago, a young man was shot down in a particular area of North St. Louis, and the police took hours to respond. His body laid out in the street for hours. No police came, no ambulance came, no one showed up until a second call, two or three calls, had to keep, you know, hitting them up for them to finally show up. So when you have frustration like that, it can make people say, look, if they don't know who else to turn to, they're like, we need something. Who do we go to? So out of frustration, they say, hey, well, we need the National Guard. We need the Army to come here. We need something. And that's because they're not getting the help, like I say, from local authorities. Myself, I say the community abroad, this is something that we need to take care of in-house. You know, we're taking care of our families like we should, men in the homes, taking care of the women and children, and constantly teaching to the children like we should be doing. This will help. So this stuff can be taken care of in-house, but we have to have the heart and the courage to stand up and combat these things in our community. I look at us as the brothers, as the men, to get out here and help fight this stuff in our community. And different organizations, like I said, I'm a part of the Nation of Islam, but you got Black Panthers, you have different organizations that's out here, and I'm not going to leave church out, clergy as well. You got churches in these communities. So you can't just sit up in the church and pray and not get out in the community and try to talk to the people and be hands-on and fight what's going on. That's one of the big problems that we have with, you know, so-called Christian churches, staying in the church house and not getting out in the community. You know, my brothers had a discussion that we know that we need to step up our efforts in getting out to the community and talking to the community. We got to step up and being a presence out there. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said that is our mission. Our mission is to reach the mentally dead in our community, the spiritually and mentally dead. So when we know this, that is our mission, that we have to take it serious. And we can't wait on the police department. We can't wait on the National Guard. We have to step up and take care of our community, ourselves.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh, that's it, brother. I didn't know if you was done, but.
No, go ahead, bro.
No. Okay, yeah, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with what you were saying. And, you know, to answer the question, do I think the National Guard is a solution to crime in St. Louis or any major city? I say absolutely not. And my brother kind of touched on it, Mufasa Ra. One of the questions he asked, he was like, the community was asking, well, who do we go to? And my brother Mufasa Ra answered that question very eloquently, and it's the community. You know, the community is the ones who's supposed to handle that situation. When you talk about bringing in the National Guard, that gets a little dangerous because you're talking about occupying a community, and these people don't have any type of relationship with the community, so that could create, you know, more problems. I do want to read something because this is this conversation kind of sparked because Third Ward Alderman Brandon Bosley as Governor Mike Parsons to send in the National Guard in an interview that he did with KSDK Channel 5. So I just want to read a quote, and then I kind of get you guys' thought on this particular quote. It says, quote, "There is a war going on in the city, and it's not white on black. Everybody's talking about a race war. White people are not coming to the black side of town shooting up black people," end quote. Bosley told KSDK. Okay, another quote. "It is black people coming from wherever they come from to shoot up the other black people in this city, and we need help to save ourselves," end quote. You know, now that particular quote, there's a few different issues I particularly have with that particular quote, and I can start at the end where it says we need help saving ourselves. I totally disagree with that. I think, you know, black people or, yeah, the black community, quote unquote, is more than capable of saving ourselves and having a viable community. Because, again, if you look at history, that has shown any time that black people are left to their own devices without without influence from the outside society, black people fare better. And I could just point to a few communities, you know, at the turn of the 20th century. You had Black Wall Street. You had Wilmington. You had Forsyth County, Georgia. You even had East St. Louis, which is not too far from here, and hundreds of other black communities that were doing very well until, you know, a terrorist situation where we had white supremacists come in, try to destroy the community. You had integration and these type of things that come in to destroy the community. So it has been proven throughout history if black people are left to their own devices, we can, you know, have a sustainable community with low violent crime. Now, again, you're never going to get violent crime to zero. You know, that's impossible, because when we talk about gun crime and crime in general, that is an American problem. That is not, black people do not have a monopoly on crime and on gun violence. No, that is an American problem, and it needs to be addressed as such. That's why, you know, I say we need to get out of the sloganisms and the black-on-black crime and we got to do better, we killing ourselves. No, let's stop that narrative, because the truth of the matter is crime is intra-racial, right? Crime is intra-racial. Most crimes are committed in proximity to where the people live, like Dick Gregory told us, right? Dick Gregory told us. Black Americans are the only ones that fall for the black-on-black crime narrative. Everyone kills within their own group, and because America is so segregated, you're going to have whites killing whites for the most part. You're going to have blacks killing blacks, Chinese killing Chinese. Like, that's just how it's set up because we're in proximity to each other and due to the segregation. So it's going to be up to black people to shape the narrative that, no, we have a few people, you know, that are doing crimes, just like any community has a few people that do crimes. So what we have to figure out is how do we ostracize these people out of the community? How do we put mechanisms in place where we can punish these people who do our community harm before the police even get there? You know, and that's what we're going to have to figure out as we talk about solutions, as we have this conversation moving forward. But I totally disagree with sending in National Guard. I disagree with more police on the streets to stop crime, because from what I've seen, the police show up after the crime has been committed, right? So are we trying to be reactive, or are we trying to be proactive to the situation? And more police is only being reactive to the situation, right? So we got to try to get ahead of the curve and figure out what's driving these problems. And let's be honest, and I'm going to just say this and then I'm going to let you guys go. Let's be honest. We know the solutions. right? It really don't take a rocket science. Like, people get on TV and people get on the news and be like, oh, we don't know what to do. There's so much crime. We don't have – I mean, let's stop it. Let's put this on the table right now. We know the solutions. There's been plenty of people throughout the years, a lot smarter than me, you know, that have solutions, that have laid them out. The problem is the powers that be also know the solutions, but they don't want to implement those solutions. Why? Because low crime equals less money for the system. Again, low crime is less money for the system. They make money on us killing each other. They make money on us going to jail. They make money in the courts by us going to jail and crime and all these different type of things. So low crime is not good the way this particular is set up. So we know the solutions. They would just like to keep it contained in, you know, majority black community, because if something happens in the Central West End or in Ladue, Clayton, then there's a big uproar with crime. You know, we got to tackle crime and do all these things. But as long as it's concentrated to the north side, you know, everything's good. You know, they may put up a fuss like, oh, we need to figure out what's going on. But, again, we know the solutions. So let's implement the solutions that we know can work. You dig? So I'll leave it right there for now. You know, I don't know if y'all want to go to the calls or y'all want to respond to what I just laid out or how y'all want to do it.
I'll give a little bit of response. But yeah, I'm ready to go to the call line.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
I'm agreeing with you. You know, the only part we may differ at just slightly is with, you know, and I understand what you're saying, like that, you know, where the powers that be basically wanting to do this, and, you know, the business is the crime. And I get that. I get that. And I'm the one to, you know, to even debate it with you at this time. But I'll just throw this out there, is because I understand it. But the people who are in the community have to get tired, have to understand that the solution is with us. I don't care what the powers that be do. I don't care what white supremacy do. The answer has been given to us. And so when you run across someone that gives you a solution, you know, and this is where it's tricky, because a lot of our people are not wise. That's all they call spiritually and mentally dead. But we have to have people have to be able to take the criticism and say, man, I need to make some changes within myself as well. You know, I got to make this change within my life. If you got a young woman who has a child, you know, and we're trying to say, you know, hey, sis, you know, listen to this type of crazy music that's talking about shooting and violence. While you playing it in your home, your child is listening to that, and that negative energy resonates into your child's ear. You know, we got to figure out a way to get that young woman or young man to understand that, because it seems like a lot of times they don't get that until later on in life when they get older, like a lot of us do. You know, like Grandma, you said, just keep on living, and then you realize, oh man, maybe I should have did this. Maybe I shouldn't have been playing that crazy music, because it got all the time. My son or my daughter, they're wilding out. You know, so but we can go deep into that later on, but I'm not disagreeing with you, but I am, you know, putting the power back in the community's hands. Also, like we can take control of this.
I agree, definitely with that, because the power is only in our hands. So what I'm saying is that's why we got to look out for those, let's say, institutions outside of our community that can undermine us. Like, I give you an example. If we have someone in our community, right, that's detrimental to the community, he's wilding out, he's a shooter, he's a hitter, he's out here, he gets caught. He cooperates with the police, with the police. They let him out based on he cooperated with them. They let him out, and he's only going to wreak more havoc on the community. You see? Mm-hmm. So how do we address that issue? How do we adjust when you have people who are known hitters, known shooters, that's in and out of jail and coming back on the streets in our communities? Like, how do we handle that? Because if we take the law into our own hands, then we're vigilante. Then, you know, the regular citizen is up. He can be arrested because he killed the known drug dealer, known person who was wreaking havoc in our community. Now he's going to be arrested when he was could have been just trying to protect the community. So those are things that we got to deal with when we talk about dealing with crime and the community handling that. Because in any black community, we know where the drug houses are. We know things that are going on. But if the community step up and be like, hey, we gonna try to shut this down, then we're liable for, you know, taking the law into our own hands, so to speak. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to have to figure out because, like I say, a lot of times brothers are in and out of jail for committing crimes and they're cooperating with the police and they're just back on the streets doing the same thing. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to have to we're going to have to address as well. Let me see, because another thing I wanted to touch on is, because I have the stats right here, you know, I pulled them up, you know, trying to get ready for this show, and this is a thing that a lot of people don't want to talk about, and I've been saying this for a long time, that crime is down in St. Louis. I'm going to say this again. Crime is down in St. Louis, and that goes for every major city in America. Crime is down. Now, check this out. It's April 21st, 2019. We've had 37 homicides this year, according to the St. Louis Police Department website. 37, right? 37 by April, we're on pace to have about maybe 111, 112 murders for the entire year. That would be down from 2018, okay? That would be down from 2017, right? That'll be down from 2016. That'll be down from 2015. So my point is crime is going in the right direction. Right, so we got to figure out how do we capitalize and keep that momentum going, because it's going in the right direction. Little do we know, like the news, you know, they'll report crimes and they may run the same story every week, but crime is going down. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, like I said, I got the stats pulled up, and just to give some clarity to the family, real quick. And then we can go to the call lines if y'all want to do that. But let me just break this down real quick. In 1970, St. Louis had the most murders since being recorded. In 1970, there were 309 murder homicides in St. Louis. 309. Okay. Then we had another peak in 1981. When there was 265 homicides in 1 year. Okay, now, another peak in 1993. In 1993, there was 267 homicides in the city of St. Louis. Okay, now, look, check this out. And then after 93, crime started going down dramatically. Now, the lowest number of homicides in St. Louis history occurred in 2003. Right? In 2003, there were 74 homicides for the year. Right? So how do we get back to 74 homicides in 1 year? Like, even like one death is enough. Let's be clear. You know, one murder, one homicide is enough. But again, we live in America. There's more guns than people. This is, unfortunately, the society that we all inherited, unfortunately. But for me, 74 homicides in 1 year in a city of, you know, close to half a mil, I think that's pretty good. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty significant.
That's weird.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess it's ready too, Brother Kev. You might want to get ready to bring him on and just let our callers know we're going to get to him.
Okay, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Let's bring in our special guest. This is Brandon Bosley, I'm sorry, from the Third Ward here in St. Louis. Are you with us, Mr. Bosley? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Is I guess Reddy, is he with us?
Yes, he's with me.
Okay, peace, Brandon Bosley. Are you with us, sir?
He might be having a difficulty. Why don't we take a quick caller, and we'll get the brother when he gets his phone together.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Let's, Raj, if you wanna take a quick call. And,
okay.
Yeah, we can get to the guest. We'll get to you here in a second, guest. I guess we're having some technical difficulties, but we'll take one call, and then we'll try again.
Okay, let's hold on a second. Randy, can you go ahead and say something?
Yeah, I can't hear.
Yeah, let's take a call until you get yourself together. Sorry, you can't hear me?
Hey there, Collective Minds. I just heard myself beep in.
Oh, okay. Peace, caller. How you doing? Peace. Do you have a question?
Doing all right.
Well,
start off with one. It ain't going to be as short as you anticipate, because you're wanting a short call. You might want to come back to me if you want a short call.
We still got to get to our guest. Right. We still got to get to our guest. So if you can make a couple points,
ahead,
and we can come back to you.
All right. So. Yeah, no, get me after the guest. Yeah, this is it.
Okay.
Get me after the guest.
Yes, indeed. We'll come back and get you after the guest. All right. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, while she's working on that, or we're working trying to get our guest on the show, I want to offer this, too, because, you know, we never hear the term. Why is it we only hear the term black-on-black crime? And I'm really starting to despise that term, because I think it undermines black people, and it makes us look like that we're just out here just killing each other just for no reason, and things are just so bad that we're animals and just savages and can't control our emotions. You know, that's the type of perception that black-on-black, quote-unquote black-on-black crime gives. But we never hear the term white-on-white crime. You know, when the guy shot up the concert in Las Vegas, I didn't hear any other mainstream media say anything about white-on-white crime. I didn't hear it. You see, so tell me, because this is a matter of perspective, right? So if you have 70 people killed in one WAP versus in a black community, 70 people killed over 4 to 5 months. What's the difference, or is there a difference? Like, you know, can anybody explain to me that? Like, that's just a question for people, you know, out in radio land. If you have 70 people killed in a mass shooting in one WAP versus 70 people getting killed over a 3 to 5 month span,
mm-hmm.
See, it's just a matter of perspective. You see what I'm saying? But nobody ever says white-on-white crime. So it's going to be up to us, again, to shape the narrative, because, again, it's a small percentage of people that are wreaking havoc on our communities. And it's not all black people. It's not even the majority. Right? So we got to keep that in mind and shape the narrative. And, again, when we're doing better and doing well, as we see crime is going down in every major city across every major category. We have to applaud the people for stepping up and taking responsibility, and we always say accountability. And I feel like black people are being accountable. Black people are responsible for our community, but we cannot account for one person going rogue and doing something against the code. You see what I'm saying? That's just a lone wolf that's going and doing something against the code. You see?
That's understandable. Let's see, Brother Brandon Rosley, can you hear us?
Are you here? Peace. Brandon. Okay, we can't hear him. Can you hear him?
I'm here.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, there he is.
There we go. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Peace. All right. Yeah, we're doing good, Brandon. Okay, I just want to make a formal announcement. For the callers, this is Collected Minds Radio. We have special guest Brandon Bosley from the Third Ward here in St. Louis, and we are talking about crime in St. Louis, possible solutions, and this conversation, again, sparked from an interview that Brandon Bosley did with KSDK, where he had made a call for possibly bringing in a National Guard to the Governor Mike Parsons. We just here trying to discuss that and come up with some possible solutions, to crime in our area. So, Brandon Bosley, I want to thank you real quick just for sharing some of your evening with us this week. We know it's a holiday and some people do celebrate Easter, so we want to thank you for sharing some of your time with us. And before we get started, do you want to give an introduction of yourself, or is there something you want to let the listeners know before we get started with the conversation?
Not really. Calling them in the third, I'm just trying to make something happen in the city.
So. Okay, yes, indeed. You sound kind of low, Brandon. I don't know. Did he sound low to you guys?
Let's try again. I can hear him. Brother Brandon, how long have you been the alderman down there?
Hello?
Yeah,
how
long
have
you been the alderman down there, Brandon?
For about 2 years.
Y'all
hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
It's a little choppy and a little low.
Okay.
But
there you go.
Nah, that's better. There you go. That's better.
All right.
That's better.
Yeah,
okay,
except for 2 years.
Okay, 2 years. Yes, indeed. And now, because we are talking about the call for the National Guard, so what can you give us an idea of what prompted you to make that call and go public with that statement?
The city needs to be shaken up. Needs to ensure.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Did
you hear
the same? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
I said the city needs to be shaken up. We have been running around for the past 10 years with a stain on our communities. We all know that there are issues that exist that I don't think we've done enough collectively to ensure that they don't perpetuate. We all keep talking about how bad things are getting. Now we can talk about it from a million different perspectives, how good things are, but they're not realistically. Hey, don't do that no more. Hello.
Yes, sir. That's all right. We good.
Yeah, what a lot of people will do inside of their homes is talk about the need for change, talk about how important it is for us to come together, talk about us having those collective conversations. Sometimes no one is willing to step out in the forefront to ensure we initiate that process because we really don't have an idea of what all of that looks like. So something has to be done to force us together, to force us to have those conversations, to force us to come into our communities and clean this stuff up before it gets to a point to where someone's cleaning up for us. That's why we're afraid of the National Guard now. because people are always being called in reaction to us and not us being called for ourselves in reaction to what it is that we want. See, we did all of this fighting all of these years to have control over government, to have control over police, to have some say-so and a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't been pulling all our cards. We've been sitting back watching everybody else play their hand. And that's why we fall short, because we can't plan ahead. We just hit them when they come. When everybody drop their cards down on the table, we react to that. When we actually have the largest hand in the country right now, there's not another people who can walk down a highway and being combative on a particular subject and get national coverage, have the entire world following what it is that they're doing and listening to their cause. Very, very hard to do that. We have a lot of power right now, and I think, you know, these things, that's to be something to draw.
Oh, you broke up, Brother Brandon. All right, Brother K, can you hear me?
Like that. Can you hear me?
There you go.
Yeah, so I don't know where you all cut in and off at, but once again,
if you can hear me, Brian, let me add this real fast, because I know you have been tied up early, but we in the beginning of the conversation, that's something that I had brought up about as far as being like a member of the Nation of Islam. We have to accept the fact that we do need to do more in getting out in the community, being boots on the ground, not just that organization, but other organizations, political leaders, clergy. We can't keep staying in the church, in the mosque, staying in the homes, and not discussing these issues. We have to be active and physically get out in these communities and talk to our people. That's how I feel like we're going to make a change. And I do understand what you said, you know, as far as shaking up the community. Because when you made that statement, yeah, I mean, you took some criticism, you took some heat on it. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was thinking that you made that statement in order to do just that, to shake up the people and say, look, and also if the police ain't going to do the job and we can't get the community members, the community leadership to come out here and be proactive and do the job, well, somebody got to get out here. Am I wrong in that? In my assessment of your statement?
I apologize. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you. We can hear you now.
My phone went off on you. The signal faded. So I just called back. I didn't get to hear what you said. I don't even know if you heard everything I did.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll make it real fast.
You can sum it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll sum it up real quick. I was saying earlier in the conversation that I had brought up about different organizations needing to be proactive and boots on the ground and talking to the community. And I understood your statement, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you making that statement about bringing in National Guard was to shake up the people and like, look, if different organizations and our community as a whole, we ain't going to handle this and we can't rely on the police department to handle it, then, yeah, somebody else do need to come in. Because
right,
something has to happen.
Agreed. And my whole thing is, it's the National Guard. We get the Black Panthers, whoever it is. There's something that has to shake, and it has to happen now while we're waiting on these long-term solutions. You know, our children aren't getting any younger, and, you know, the experiences that they experience every single day is going to shape the environment they grow up in. And if we ourselves aren't ensuring that they inherit something better than what we inherited, then they're going to be doing the same thing we're doing right now, is talking about these issues, but at a different scale.
Right, right. Yes, indeed. Now, this Brother Kev, Brother Kevin Brandon. Now, I don't know if you heard the show earlier, but I was kind of going through the stats, right, as
mm-hmm.
far as crime in the St. Louis area. Now, from what I see, and based on the numbers provided by, you know, crime stats, crime has been going down since 1993, okay? And here in 2019, in April, the city is sitting at 37 homicides. And so we're on pace to have 111 homicides for the year, which would be lower than 2018, which would be when there was 187 homicides. It will be lower than 2017, where there was 205. It will be lower than 2016 and 15. So my thing is, I think the narrative that, you know, it's over violent. I think the crime is going in the right direction, and I don't think the people want to tell the people that it's going in the right direction, because they want to perpetuate this image of a violent city. So my question is, where would you like to see the homicide or crime rate be for us to focus on the positive? Because from what I see, again, crime is going down, and that's in every major city across America. So I don't want it to make it seem like, you know, crime in St. Louis is just super bad, because I live in the hood, quote unquote, what would be considered the hood. And I've learned that if you mind your own business and do your thing, most people would not have problems. There's a small group that commit these type of crimes in our community. So when we talk about, you know, calling the National Guard, it makes it seem like it's the entire community. So I just want to know, like, what levels are we looking for to where we can say, okay, we're successfully doing something, or we're successfully making a change? What do those numbers look like?
For me, it comes down to actions, right? 50 homicides, 20 homicides, like we said, is way too much. There's no reason for people to be losing people are irreplaceable. People give everything that they have to their children, and then their children get snatched them by somebody else's child from reckless behavior. See, those type of things we can iron out within our community. We can't iron them all off across the entire United States. We don't have the juice to do that. Realistically, there is a cultural change that has to take place within our culture, to where we value life different, and that has to resonate throughout the United States before we talk about all the other states, because each state might have black people in poverty, but the situations are completely unique to those particular areas, and the way you speak to those people, because the culture that exists within these different areas, you have to be able to speak to them at the place that they are. Our culture right now doesn't have a universal code. Each city has a lot of its own type of culture. And that's why we glorify where it is that we live, and we glorify the bad things about it realistically, because those are the things that make us what we are culturally, and that number one has to change. So for me, if you don't run around through this city shooting people up in broad damn daylight with kids outside, somebody needs to be waiting for you around the corner to bring you to justice. And right now, our people are afraid to do so because we come back and shoot our people. And that's just realistic. You know, ain't no damn way that somebody should be able to bust off 100 rounds during the daytime and the police never show up. Not show up late, but never show up. That says to anybody that's out here shooting, anybody can get it. That's a problem for me. And for our children to grow up seeing things like that, when we don't control media right now, we don't control the radio, nor do we control TV. We don't even control our own damn image that gets perpetuated across the United States, because all of the people out here that are showing the United States what black people do get roles that are nothing but drug dealers and murderers. Like, realistically, our children grow up seeing that, and we don't have a reality check for that. We don't have a check and balance in that system, and they run around doing particular things that they see in these games. This is all real. This is all programming. We forget sometimes what media was created for. They have done a hell of a job in programming our neighborhoods, and we have to deprogram that. There ain't no way. Like, I'm not tripping off white people and white on white crime, because I can't speak to why it is they do what they do. I grew up in the hood. I can speak to why we do what we do. Ain't nobody realistically at 9 years old waking up like, I'm going to go shoot a whole block up. That ain't happening. That's something that gets put in your head. From either seeing that, see somebody get away with it, or listening to that on the TV or in these songs and feeling like that's something you want to do because everybody else is doing it. That's a cultural thing. So we have to culturally change the mindset of that and make that stuff not cool, no matter, and that's at all costs, because our children are dying because of that. Now, you can tack in the numbers in St. Louis and say, yeah, it may be 200 hurt, but it's 400 there, that's 600 there, 700 in that state. All of these things come down to a cultural issue. And for me, being where I am in my city with our people, I know and understand what it is that we need. I'm not necessarily asking for the police to run around locking everybody up. What we need is more eyes to be able to tell on the people who are out here shooting shit out of us. That's just what it comes down to. Everybody is afraid of their own shadow.
It like, is what it is.
You shoot somebody and come right back to the damn crime scene before the police even get there. And, yes, they're going to sit there and watch you say it was this car, it was that car. And then this, you know for sure this person's still out on the streets. So, yeah, it's going to make you not want to say nothing, and that gets perpetuated in our communities. Something got to stop right now. We got to put a cap on this thing. We got to put a cap on not snitching and reevaluate what not snitching means. What does it mean to tell? What does it mean to be helpful to your community? What does it mean when somebody went and shot up a baby, you know who it is, but he was aiming at somebody else and missed? That ain't snitching, man. That's not snitching to go and say, it was Ray Ray. It was whoever the hell it was. He shot that baby.
Right. Now, see, for me,
that
no snitching thing in our community is a myth. You see what I'm saying? Because we know that
black
people
snitch every day.
Black people snitch all the time. All you got to do is watch First 48. People snitch all the time. That's a myth.
First 48 is scripted. Those are the movies. And that's so you got to think about it. They get these First 48 things and from all over the state. So, of course, they got something every single night to talk about as far as somebody telling on each other. But as far as there's no reason our numbers should be the same almost every year, give or take 5 to 7 homicides. Every year.
Yeah, but they're not the same. They're not the same, my brother. I pulled up the stats. The numbers are not the same.
Give or take 5 to 7 homicides yearly.
No, sir.
We're still statistically in between 1 and 3 every year as far as murder.
Let me add something to it. Let me ask you that real fast, Kev. Then I'm gonna give it to you, because I do have to agree with that. Because even though the stats, you know, that you're reading, if the stats are correct, that's coming down cool. But I have to go off of what I see every day. And as y'all know, you know, a young man just shot up my daughter's and her boyfriend car with my grandson in it just a few days ago. And to go off what the brother said, the guy, they caught him. But guess what? They were already looking for him because he had beat the hell out of somebody at the same gas station a few days prior. And he was so bold, he was bold enough and brazen enough to come back to the same gas station and try to shoot up some people, like I say, my daughter and grandson in the car, trying to rob them and shot them up. You could have killed my daughter and my grandson. So these dudes are out here, you know, like wild, reckless cowboys. So I have to go for what
We have to be honest, family. Let's be honest. These things are due to people being involved in shady businesses. This is not random stuff. So we Listen, family, we have to be careful not to indict the entire black community. These are people who are involved in shady business, and they're doing dealings with shady people, and that's the result of violence when you're in the streets. This is what happens. So when we talk about gun violence and crime, that is an American problem, period, point blank. We have more guns in America than we have people. You see,
so that lady who got ran over. That lady who got ran over on that bridge with the young man racing down the street, and he hit her and knocked her in half. You telling me she was involved in some shady business?
But that's a one off. I don't know what she was involved. I'm saying that's a one off. Like you went to that one incident.
I told you he was.
He
was being robbed.
It's more than enough.
He was being robbed and
but
he
family,
was running.
What
that's
I'm telling
he hit
you
her.
Is,
I said that three times.
This is what I'm saying, because we can boohoo and cry when these things happen and innocent kids get killed, but their parents are involved in certain situations that come with the territory.
But
because,
man, 20 years ago, you would give them a pass because they was with their babies and kids. That's the point I'm making.
Right.
We have to get
back to a point
where there's accountability on ourselves.
I got you.
That's not acceptable.
I got you. That
just
goes back to
your people doing
code.
Shady stuff, you get that.
It is
you don't
what
go
it
out
is.
There and shoot the whole block up.
I got you. That goes back to a street code, right? There's a lack of a street code, but again, when you're involved in street activity, you know what comes with it. So there's no way you should be making a serve with your girl and your kid in the car. No way you should be doing that.
It don't be like that,
though.
So what you're talking about is situations. Those situations right there are unique. A lot of people just straight be out here trying to feed their family, and you run up on, you know, like you end up dealing with individuals who trying to just take from you. A lot of people getting robbed. You don't hear a lot of the real stuff. And for instance, the guy who got shot twice was just sitting in the alley because he didn't want to move his car. Of course, I hear more and more about that backstory, but the initial conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Now, see,
after whatever.
Now, see, my brother. See, we have to be careful with that story because it's hard for me to believe that it was just that simple. I think there was more to
that.
See,
but you went down there talking to their family members. That's the point.
But
your
family is
believe that, but you're not right there next to the homicide, bro.
Right.
Like,
you just said
when you pulling up on this stuff,
are
you actually talking to the people? You say what?
No, I said you just said you got the backstory.
Of course, yeah, I got the backstory. And like I said, no matter what, it led up to, once again, the shooting this man's car up over him. Now, if he would have moved his car, he wouldn't even be shot. It's as simple as that.
I don't know.
Like,
I have a hard
up.
Time believing
man,
that.
That's the thing. But you're not out there.
You got to put boots on the ground, brother kid.
So they didn't know each other? Did they know each other? Did they have any dealings with each other?
That was something that could have happened earlier that day, but that was not the reason why he got shot. See, just because you know somebody, because you get in an altercation with somebody, don't mean that they mean death on you, right? That just means you got a little bit of something going on. What can escalate that is, once again, his ability to understand that they can do what they want and get away with it. That's the problem.
Agreed. Now,
just because you fights with somebody, don't mean, strategically, man, there was kids outside, right behind them. They didn't give two shits about striking none of them kids, and they ain't have nothing to do with the situation. They wasn't in the car. They was just out there playing.
Right, so we know the kids are innocent. The responsibility falls on the adults. So whatever the adults out there were involved in, that's on them for putting their kids in jeopardy. You see,
that's what I'm saying. There were
that's
no
on them.
Had anything to do with that situation. They were just on the porch playing. You see what I'm saying? They were just enjoying the neighborhood. And it's happened right in front of them. These kids ain't got nothing. Man, they wasn't sitting in the car with them. They wasn't running up with them. These ain't nobody's parents. These are just random kids. Victim of circumstance because they don't have enough money to live in a different place. But themselves, them little 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, live bodies and see places, man. I mean, come on. And then they see that same thing, and then they hear about it on the radio. It perpetuates your idea of you can get away with it. Until we stop that and change that mentality, we'll continue to see these homicides. We don't even know why the murder rate is going down. Nobody can give you an idea, but I can give you an understanding because
I'm telling you like this, and this is coming from Cosmic Head. The consciousness of black people is rising, right? And when crime goes down, the system loses money, period, point blank, because we know the solutions to what's going on. But when crime goes down, they lose money. And black people are starting
to
figure out.
But they're not the ones trying to shoot us up, though.
But they're the ones who created the system. Do you know any black gun manufacturers?
Well, I agree with that, but you're not going to stop them.
Okay.
What you have to do is change the mind of the beholder of the gun. You can't change
the mind of
the gun maker.
Right. So what I'm telling you, my brother, is the mind of the collective mind of black people is changing. It's not going to happen overnight. I just gave you the stats that we're on pace for only 111 homicides. Is that too many? Yes, but it's way down from 200. That's way down from 200.
We don't know that it's going to be like that. We have
no
clue.
I said we're on pace. Right now we're sitting at 39 homicides, 37, 39, right, for the city. So we don't know if it's going to get there, but what I'm telling you is black people are starting to figure out the system. It takes time. These things are not going to happen overnight, right? So
we can't take our foot off the neck neither.
We want to figure out how we can get back to 2003 when there was only 73 homicides.
But we
don't even
know
we get back
there was 73. The reason you can't get back there because there's no statistic paperwork that shows you this is how we did it. There's nothing there. There's no rubric. There's no guidelines. We don't know. We don't know whether we're coming or going from here. We don't know what's going to happen, and that's the problem. There's nothing measurable. We're just hopeful.
Well,
we wake up every morning wishing.
No. See, like, again, what I'm seeing, and again, I live in a quote-unquote hood. I'm seeing black people are starting to figure out the system. We're starting to avoid traps. We're starting to get more conscious and aware. It's not everyone, but the numbers are moving in the right direction. So my thing is, let's not indict the entire black community, because remember, in 94, Bill Clinton signed the crime bill, or he put forth the crime bill, which we know was detrimental with draconian drug laws and three strikes and minimum sentences and all this crazy stuff that started mass incarceration. So when he comes back trying to apologize years later, he said that, well, it was the black politicians that said we needed tougher crime laws. I was just doing what the black politicians told me. That's why we have to be careful, because we are the only ones who have the solutions. Let's not bring outside forces in, because we know that they can be detrimental to our progress. History has shown this.
If you understand what the problem is, once again, we lack a lot of understanding. Now, everybody's seen the military has been the military. It really ain't nothing like that. It's different branches to it. These are actual just police officers that are or that have military trainers. Here's a difference. They're called MPs, but a lot of us don't really know, because of what we used to see. And what we're used to seeing is a different type of policing on us. We have not controlled police in a very long time, very, very long time, but we have the authority and the ability to. That's what we have not seen in one day. The same pick up and read about how bad Ferguson was, the same books we pick up and read about how it was back in slavery days, how the police treated us like this and that. One of our kids going to pick up a book and say, this is when it all changed. This is the day where we finally saw some resolve. This was the only time in history we can think about when we called in reinforcements for ourselves and didn't see no homicides. Or I got down to two or three. Why? Because people did not want to be seen out there shooting because they knew somebody was going to see them. I mean, literally, whatever it takes. But at some point, that is going to have to be the subject of the conversation. There's going to be happening, and there needs to be something that these kids can read. So if there ever comes a time 60 years from now to where things start to creep back up, they have a way to push it back down. We need to figure out how to suppress these numbers all the way down, because we didn't got to be out here like that. I don't give a shit what America is teaching. America eats its babies. We not America. America wasn't built for blacks. So that don't mean we have to. We don't have to be subjected to this bullshit ass system that they perpetuated on us or pushed on us. We perpetuate the nonsense that they've given us. We choose to continue in ways that enslaves our minds. Just because it is what was does not mean that it will be what it is. We have to do something to change the narrative and ensure that the future is different from the past, because we took the bull by the reins and said, we're going in this direction, and whoever want to come, going to come with us. You either, realistically, man, we got so much power right now, it's ridiculous that we not utilize.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we are utilizing. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, brother, but I think we are utilizing. I just think it's a matter of perspective. Again, if 70 people are killed in one WAP, or 70 people killed over 3 to 5 months. It's just a matter of perspective.
Talk about 70 people being killed unless a black man came out and did the killing. America,
exactly.
That ain't what America is, man. They never ever.
This is what I'm saying.
Demonize a white man for going out there doing. They call them schizophrenics, not serial
this
killers.
This is what I'm telling you. So when exactly, and this is what I'm telling you, because when we perpetuate or we hone in and highlight the violence in our community, unfortunately, that goes onto the entire black society. The least of us are the criminals of society, indicts the entire population. That's why I'm saying we need to change the narrative and say, no, those people don't represent black people. Those are outliers. Those are one-offs. Those are lone wolves. Those people do not represent us, because the majority of black people are out here trying to do the right thing, provide for their family, and provide a better type of living for their families. That's the majority of people.
The only way you do that is to remove those people out of the community. To get them out of the community, you got to point the finger at them and be like, it was him. Because obviously
that
it wasn't us.
Yes, I agree. Now, I do want to let's get to the callers and see if we can get some callers. We're down to the last 30 minutes. If you just joined us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have special guest Third Ward Alderman Brandon Bosley with us. And you want to get to the calls, Roger?
Okay. And to all the calls I'm going to bring in, we're going to move fairly quick this week. So state your
yes.
question or your comment, and then we're going to move right along. So we're going to start with area code 314-283, calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 314-283. Okay, we're going to move right along. They're probably just listening.
Yep.
Thanks for calling, listening. Let's go area code 314-642, calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes,
area
ma'am.
Area code 314. Okay, thanks for calling in, caller. Go ahead with your question, and we'll get a chance to respond. We're going to move on.
Well, actually, I have a question and a comment. Well, basically, my comment is that we had a situation in the 80s where a crack epidemic,
Right, caller, we can barely hear you. Sound kind of far from the phone. Can you do something? Because I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Let me move away from my speaker.
Okay, yeah, move away from your speaker. Turn it down. Yeah. No, you sound far. You still sound far away.
If you are, it sounds like we're on speakerphone. Can you put the phone to your headset, to your ear?
Perfect. That's perfect. Loud and clear, caller. Go ahead.
So, you know, back in the 80s where the epidemic of gang violence hit the streets of St. Louis and other states around the country, coupled with the cocaine epidemic, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went on a Stop the Killing tour, and we saw the decline of violence and gang violence more specifically in those in the areas of the states and cities around the country. We move fast forward to the Million Man March, and we saw evidence of crime falling in that period during that day and weeks and months beyond. So there are markers and variables that indicate why violence has stopped in many instances. We also see that in the Cabrini Green, where the Muslims were patrolling those projects and where crime decreased on a large level. So there are sources and resources in our community that we can reach out to. The FOI is a great, stable organization that has been proven across many years now to interact with our community, to understand the culture of our community, and to help reduce the crime in our community. Also, we have Malik Ahmed, A Better Family Life. He's also a great resource. So there are resources that we have in our community to help stabilize the community and bring structure back to the community. We have to reach out to them and provide them with the resources, and our politicians have to reach out to them and help to assist them with those resources. If we call in the National Guard, we're going to create a situation where we're going to have possible civil war. We have a situation where we have police, and not all police, but some police in our community that are not they're not in our interest. And so we have to have people invested who have our interests, who can relate to our culture, who can relate to our situation. So that is my comment. And my question is, will the aldermen will the aldermen reach out to those organizations, provide them with political backing, provide them with some of the resources that they may need to come out into the community on a more larger scale and hopefully curb some of the violence in our community? Thank you for allowing
indeed.
Me for this comment.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, indeed. Great question.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
So we reached out to Better Family Life. Well, they get funded through the city. So, you know, any resource they need, it's not hard for them to get it. We fund them. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing we can do is make sure that they have the monetary things they need to be able to execute what it is that they feel like they need to execute to be able to bring violence down. So, I mean, you know, we most certainly – you know, interact with them, and they interact with us. I'm very familiar with Better Family Life personally with some of the outreach directors, and been involved just in really knowing the organization and people involved in it for a long time. So, you know, I completely don't think that we're not working with them. For me, once again,
we need more numbers.
I want to keep.
We need more numbers.
Yeah, that's what
I was
going to
say. We need more numbers.
I want to see people live. That's it. And that's at all costs. We're talking about being uncomfortable to save lives. You know how many mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers would turn back their hands at times if they could have had any damn body standing on the corner that would have told on the fact, you know, told them they loved one, who were told on the person who shot their loved one, or would have been standing there so there could have been something maybe preventative and gave him another day. So he wouldn't have been standing on that corner or standing where he was, or the child wouldn't have been in the car that day. We don't know. But when people are willing to get up as a people, just about murder. Like, that's what I want to prevent. I want to be preventative while I'm in my time in this culture and alive and being able to do something about my culture. I want things to happen that are preventative, so we're not talking about 100. We're not talking about 200. We're talking about a domestic dispute because somebody couldn't control their emotions, and, you know, that's something that you really can't control, right? Realistically,
right.
A lot of these things are perpetuated through the culture that has. And if we don't do something to hit the culture right now to put a cap on it so we can make those significant changes, like, I think we need to start censoring a whole lot of media, but more importantly, we need to get these boys who don't have fathers, because you just talked about the crack era. A lot of these kids growing up with a threat community have not taken a stand on being able to be more about the young men who are growing up in our communities and taking on more than just our kids that live in our household. You can't just for your kids right now, because those kids that are growing up without any teaching are going to have an impact on the child that you are teaching. All of those things come down to community-based understanding. We need to be able to move our community forward, but there has to be a stop right now so people can live through it. They can wake up and feel comfortable with it. You want to go play with the kid next door so you can feel comfortable helping discipline that kid next door and not being subject to getting shot by their parent. At the parent,
yes,
what's going on in our community right now, and we too quick to go and grab a gun. That's where I just want to change the mentality, to change the culture right now.
Right,
if
right.
If you can get ahead of the way people think and they pick up a gun, then you won't see murder.
Right, and I'd like to just add something too before we get to the callers. This is a great conversation. Everybody making great points. I just want to throw another point out there, something else to also that we need to consider while we're trying to hopefully try to provide solutions. Because we all on the phone, from what it sounds like, we acknowledge that there is crime. No one likes it. We all want it to stop. You know, but we have to also keep in mind that the black community that I keep hearing us speaking about, the change and the culture and all that needs to have a shift and all that, that is absolutely true, but we have to still recognize, and I think this is what Brother Kevin is trying to point out, the system, I guess, as a whole. If, and as an example, just try to make it simple. If I'm a baker and I raise you and I teach you how to bake and you obey, you a baker. If I'm a person that cut trees, and I raise you and I teach you everything that I know and teach you how to cut trees, then that's what you are. So we have to keep in mind that we are under the rulership of a government that create devils. And until we can figure out how to detach ourselves and our community away from the things that we have been taught, because this is why it's the scramble in the ghetto. This is why we scrambling in the ghetto, because of the things that's coming upon us from up top. If we've been oppressed, if you have a group of people that you take away the resources, then you're going to get chaos.
Right.
You know, we're unfortunately under the rulership of someone or something that is creating this type of man. So,
right.
I'm not under that rulership. And that's nothing. That's not going against what you're saying, Righteous. That's not going against what you're saying. I'm not under that rulership.
Unfortunately, you are.
And we have
unfortunately,
the answers.
You are,
we have answers to that. No, I don't subscribe to that. And the answers have been laid out. We just need our people to come aboard.
Before we get to the caller, real quick, because Roger's making a good point, what I'm saying is crime, gun violence is a American problem. America doesn't resolve its conflicts diplomatically all the time. We watch war movies. We celebrate war.
Yeah, we
these are things that
Americans.
Are part
That's
of our
point.
Society. We were raised by and
we
taught by this
by...
American system. So when you talk about gun violence and crime, that is not just a black issue. That is a society issue. And it needs
right.
to be addressed as such.
But we can make a no. We don't. We can't address society's issue because we don't control society. In Missouri, there's only 700,000 of us. You say what? Yo, that's the point.
We're
we
not outside the society,
but we need to be. That's the point. We don't have
that's
to.
That's what
be.
I'm saying. We have to figure out a way
to
attach.
Exactly.
Agree.
We can detach
Agreed.
Ourselves. We're not supposed to be living like everybody else. We're supposed to be the leader.
Well,
there you go.
Make advance, no
I'm detached.
How down low we are, everybody gonna follow what we do. People dress like we dress. People make clothes just for us. As soon as you make a dance right down there, it could be halfway across the world, and everybody gonna do it, whether they like black people or not. That's how much power we have. We literally can control the entire culture of the planet. So it's not about what they've done to us. It's about what we have not done for ourselves.
Yeah, we the guys.
Okay, let's get
so I'm not
going
to subscribe to that. I'm under rulership, and I know I'm a god. Later for that.
Okay. Yeah, if we have more time, I can go off into it. But not to get you to agree, but just to make further points. Okay, let's go to next caller, 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
I want to ask Brandon.
Playing call.
Every month, the chief of police at a meeting, and the prosecutor reads the report of crime for the previous month. Am I right?
You kind of breaking up, Brandon. You was kind of breaking up.
They give a report to the aldermanic body.
No.
When they turn the speak up. They don't?
No, we don't. We don't get any of that.
All right. I tell you what, in municipalities that I know of, the police chief do give the number of calls, homicides, so. So what I'm getting at, Kevin, they would know better than what you're reading in the newspaper. And you know, you're saying crime.
I got this off the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department website. What are you talking about?
It
this
is
what
it is.
Well,
here's the thing.
You know, there used to be 100 million buffalo in this country. What happened to them? Well, people
we
kept
know
shooting
what happened
them.
To them. Right.
So when you keep shooting something, sooner or later it won't be no more to shoot. And guess what? The numbers come down. I agree with him. Let me ask you another question, Brandon. What percentage of the city budget is safety?
A big portion of it. I mean, hundreds.
It's about 46%.
Yeah,
it's about 46%. And you mean to tell me that you got organizations that want more money?
Yep.
Come on now. We're already paying for the National Guard. Bring them in and let them do that job. Why create another bill? And I've been watching these things for a long, long time. On the back of Muhammad Speaks, they got these ideas about we want to have our own nation, our own land, a state, and so forth. Well, all blacks and many of the blacks that you need to make that work don't want to go along with that for obvious
exactly.
reasons. They're at Mosque 28 where Minister Donald teach. Your Muslims don't put your kids in Brother Ibrahim's school over there on Garrison and Natural Bridge. You know where they go? They go to Cardinal Ritter because it's safe, and I guess they figure they get a better education. They go out to CBC. So when you having all this stuff, when you having this stuff going on, when you having this stuff going on in the city, stray bullets, running gun barrels like I ran into after I made a right turn on the Natural Bridge off of Union going east, and two cars chasing each other, one in the back, guys standing out of the sunroof shooting toward the one in the front approaching Union where you got cars going across the intersection. These people are crazy. For no better term.
Yeah,
you can't have a...
Hey, thanks.
Okay.
And And thanks, Carl. You know, Carl, thanks for calling me. You're making some great points. We got to move on. We almost at the end of our show. We want to get to some more callers if we can. Callers, make this quick. We're going to move this right along. Area code 319-572. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. One question or one comment?
Oh, I'm just listening tonight.
Yes, okay, indeed. Appreciate
you so
calling.
Much, caller. Okay, one more. This will have to be our last caller.
One more, yeah.
Area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or do you have one comment?
You ain't got time for me tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and hit y'all up in the post show.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Appreciate
so
it.
I know
appreciate
you got
okay,
something
thanks,
for
Kyle.
Us. Come on now.
Appreciate it.
You got something for he don't want to.
Now, look, I want to say this here real quick, and then, you know, we'll let Brandon Bozzi get the last word, because this is what we must understand as black people, right? We have to understand this. We are at war. White supremacy is a war, and whether it's in a black face or a white face, when we step out the house, we must understand that there is a war going on. Yes, indeed. It's just because we don't
it is
paint
what it is.
And army fatigue, there is a war going on, and we must move accordingly. You see, we must move accordingly. So I just wanted to put that out there because I hear a lot of idealistic things, but nothing's really realistic.
Thanks.
So as far as solutions, it goes back to the home. That is where it's going to start, and then it can branch out into the community. But as far as solutions, it's going to start at the home, and black people need to find a way to punish people who go against black society, period. Once we figure out a mechanism to do that and ostracize these people out of our community, we're going to see change. And, again, we're not going to ever stop crime. That's why I'm always asking, what
it is what it is
to be to zero? No, America is a violent country. We have more killings and people locked up than any country in the world. Like, that's just what we've been dealt. So we have to make sure that we're building with the people who want to build and building with the people who are on code and everybody else. We need to ostracize them away from us. They do not represent us. And but we have to be cognizant of when we get on these platforms and tell people that we need help saving ourselves. That's incorrect. We're going to save ourselves, and we're doing that as we speak because, again, the numbers show that crime is going down, period. I don't know what direction, you know, what people want, but crime is going down. So
I'm
let's keep
you
it
people
going
want,
that
people
way
want
and focus on that. But unfortunately, we have to die. Like, we got to be realistic. Like, that's idealistic that people want to live, but unfortunately, people die. And unfortunately, there's
see, but
more guns.
It don't have
guns
to be like that, man. Just because
yeah, we
more
all
got
to die,
people.
It doesn't have to be like that. We got to die. That's the
yeah,
only thing
we
can
die naturally, though. We can die of natural causes. We can die because we're ingesting the wrong food, not because our brother aiming a gun at our head. I'm not
we have
about
more guns
shootings.
On the
street
than people.
I'm talking about the same people. That don't mean nothing. That just means, hell, we
yeah.
Just more... It's more poisonous trees and more poisonous fools around. You can walk in the damn grocery store and drink bleach if you want to, but you don't see everybody following the drinking bleach trend. Just because it's done for you to do does not mean it has to be done. Just because it's been done before don't mean that it has to be done again. We are perpetuating that idea that it's like this, so it got to be like this, and that just ain't what it is. I don't want to perpetuate that. I would rather be somebody who tried to do something about it and actually got something done. It don't stop and end with the. It don't start and stop with the National Guard. That's just Band-Aid. But it gives you enough time to heal, so you can have a long term solution on what it is that you want to do. We want to talk about schools. We want to talk about it starting the homes. You can't talk about the household until we actually figure out why we don't have households. Our kids ain't growing up in houses. They're not growing up with a mother and father in the house. They growing up from the crack era, from people, mothers and fathers still locked up. I mean, straight up.
Right.
They got their family members in jail right now.
We know the reason that's going on. We know why that happened. We know that why that happened. We know why that happened.
It's not about what we know and why it happened. It's about the fact that it has already happened. So it can't start in the home. It got to start in the community. That means the community going to have to take an approach in raising up those kids that are lost and forgotten so they don't find themselves in situations where they have to fend for themselves and eventually succumb to the same thing everybody else is succumbing to, which is making these bad choices. They're making bad choices because nobody took the time to teach them. And you walk here with your son, your father, your uncles, but you're not looking at that young kid walking down the street with no guidance as somebody that you need to guide to because your hands are full. That's how we lose out. Everybody got to take on an extra kid right now because that's how they got us out. Everybody ensured that their cousins and friends were smoking that crack too. This is a rippling effect.
That's
we
real.
Have to pull ourselves
that's
back
real.
In the same way. That's how we get to some resolve in 5 to 10 years. In 4 years, everybody that's 14 going to be 18. In 4 years. So 4 years are going to fly by. If everybody took another kid under their wing for the next 4 years from 14 to 18, I shit you not, we'd see a totally different culture in St. Louis, Missouri. And
it is what it is.
Homicides. It would not be because people's mindset will change. The environment will change. You get back to a brother-on-brother love. You get back to people understanding what it's like to be picked up and not kicked down. Right? We always talk about St. Louis being a place where it's crab on crab, where it's crabs in a bucket. We all pulling each other back so we can't get out the barrel. That's a realistic thing that we see happening every day when we wake up. We see our people going at each other's throats. It don't have to be like that if we all understand that we're not fighting over crumbs. We want to sit at the table and have the whole meal. We can create our own path. These the tools of life have been given to us. Can't nobody come and shoot in our backyard if we don't allow it to. We got protection now. Police can't just do whatever they want to do. We have protection now, so we have to look at ourselves and what it is that we need to protect ourselves, heal ourselves, and build our people up. Like, we literally got kids walking around here ready to shoot for nothing. Imagine if we gave them something to shoot for. Imagine if you showed them some love. Imagine what type of army we'd have then. Imagine what type of men we'd be walking around the community with that's protecting these babies and mothers and fathers and children and not letting nobody come in here who's not supposed to be there. We can easily do that if we take a stake in the community and make this a community approach. Everybody got to have one. Everybody need a plus one. Everybody needs to have one that's not their son, daughter that's not their daughter. That's how we heal, because everybody's watching these children grow up with a father or without a father or without a mother, without a household, without the same guidance that you're giving your kids, without the moral fiber to be able to push themselves through life and make good, educated decisions so they won't find themselves in bad positions. That's what it comes down to.
Yes, indeed.
But something got to shift right now and give us enough time for us to breathe this type of situation. Right now, we're afraid to talk to the kids on the street. We're afraid to say something to that young man over there. He knows we're doing something wrong, but we gonna come back with. All of those things got to stop. There has to be a cap right now while we build this community up, while we build city up, while we rebuild and change the culture. Just because we grew up into this culture and we inherited it don't mean that we got to give these kids the same damn thing that we inherited and tell them, hey, it's like this. It is what it is. People was dying for you. They're going to die after you. Just because you eating like shit right now, they got all these GMO foods all around us right now, we don't know how our body's going to be affected in 20 years. That don't mean we got to feed our kids this bull. That don't mean that, that we can't go out there and build farms because we weren't farmers when we were slaves when we came and we was farming for the white man. You don't see a whole lot of us doing what's necessary to even eat the right foods right now. We're all going out here buying this dollar food, this crap, and putting it in our system, calling it nutrition.
Right.
Just don't
indeed,
mean we got
indeed.
To indulge. We have
indeed.
To wait and lean on each other and you to be able to push that all into one box, that all into one book, and get that to our community to say, everybody got to read this. Everybody should know these common moral rules for the black community. This is new way we behave in the new world that we're trying to create. That old shit they used to perpetuate, they used to push, like you said, it's going to die out.
Right.
Okay, Randall, let me step in here, Mr. Bonds. Let me step in here. We got to pay our bills. We got to pay the bills, people. And it was a nice show. Thanks
yes,
for all
appreciate
our support
you,
and our
brother. Appreciate you.
Great show. Thanks to our special guest, Mr. Bonds. We love it. We have to do a part two because I know there's a lot of information that people wanted to say that just did not get the opportunity to say it. So we would definitely want to talk about revisiting this topic again and having our guest back on. But for all our listeners
yes,
and our callers and supporters, tune in next week. We'll be back on live, Collective Minds Radio, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Brandon, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yes, appreciate it. It was great. A lot of good information. This was a great show. I appreciate it.
But, yeah, stand by, everybody. Tune in next week. Email us for any show topic ideas. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Look for us.
Collective Mind.